You're listening to Fucks Given, the one with Courtney Olsen.
Hello, curious fuckers. I'm Reed.
And I'm Florence, and together we're Come Curious.
When we're not just fucking around on YouTube and Instagram.
Every Thursday we invite a new guest onto Fucks Given to talk about their best fucks, worst fucks.
And the fucks that made them.
We also answer your sex questions and read out your sex stories.
So stay tuned as we divulge all the delicious details.
Hi, Courtney.
Oh, hi.
So all the way from Vegas today,
yeah,
right?
Vegas. It's 7 a.m. there right now, which is not okay. I'm so sorry for making you do this first thing in the morning.
Hey, early bird gets the worm or the pussy or whatever.
Yeah.
Can you please tell our curious fuckers a little bit about yourself?
So what am I? I don't even know. I'm a massive Prince fan. I can tell you that much. I run a global clothing line. I'm the woman with the world's deadliest thighs. I'm Australia's first female arm wrestling champion.
And yes.
Whoa.
Yeah. I love dogs. That's my bio.
that's great. I mean, you
that's
do.
That's my bio.
You do a lot of amazing stuff on Instagram, especially a lot of like talking about self-love and empowering women, which has been really inspiring to see.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same when I found you a lot. I was like, oh, this is great. Cause it's a little outside of my comfort zone. Like and a long backstory, but you know, after I got clean and sober 11 years ago, I just turned into a total prude.
Yeah.
And,
wow.
You know, I mean, there's all sorts of, interesting little tidbits in there, but I, just all of a sudden was like, you know, turn the lights off. Didn't want to. When I would have these pro, I had ran a program for teenage girls that I created called Camp Confidence to teach them, you know, the shit I wish we were taught in school.
Yeah.
And there was a part in there. We had a sexologist come in, and you know, she would have them put like condoms on bananas and talk about, you know, orgasms and STDs, and I would like have to run out of the room. It was ridiculous.
Oh shit!
I know, like I can't. You're all too young. I'm like, wait, you had your first orgasm when you were 7. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's also, that's not physically possible. I guess
it is. So,
and now you're here today. That is quite a jump. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
It sounds
women
like you've
supporting
had
women.
Like 1,000 lives in one lifetime. It sounds great.
A bit of that. I'll definitely get you both a copy of my book. I'm halfway done with the third round of editing, and it's
amazing.
It talks about all this interesting stuff.
Oh my God, yes. So. And an author as well. You're fucking killing it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm proud of that. I feel like this is going to be 50 Shades of Grey meets A Million Little Pieces, which was an addiction memoir, but real life.
Yeah.
So oh, this sounds great.
Yeah.
This sounds right up our street.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into the juicy details then. Fuck number one.
The last fuck.
Oh gosh, it was 4 months ago, I think. So I've been married for a decade, and
okay.
Yeah, this is the first time I've ever been solely interested in one person. Since prior to that, you know, in a man's world, it was what you call being a player. But in the woman's world, I was, you know, loose, a slut.
But
I was also just the liar because I didn't want to hurt anybody else's feelings, you know. So I'd be dating like 2-3 dudes at a time with a girl in there, and it was just so fucking irresponsible because I wasn't being forthright and being honest.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
it's a little turd.
thank you for being honest now and recognizing that now. That must have taken a journey.
Thank you. It is something I hope, you know, young girls pick up on, because, you know, when you're not being true to your word, even though they're little white lies, it destroys your self-esteem. And it's like a little drop of or a drip. You all don't really have our coffee pots like we do here in the U.S.
No.
You know what I mean?
We know them, though. We know them from the
beginning. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's just this like obnoxious. You're like, God damn, you know, how long am I going to have to wait for a fucking cup of coffee? But then all of a sudden the whole pot's full. So it's similar where you know, every little tiny lie. And it's like, there's no reason for us as young girls and women to be ashamed or embarrassed or have to lie about wanting to, you know, be with other people. Because motherfucker, you're boring after a while, you know, like,
right. Sorry. And there's nothing wrong with not wanting to settle down into a relationship. Yeah. Like, relationships are not for everyone.
No, 100% not. 100% not. And I mean, I got super lucky with the man that I'm with, and it's, you know, I don't want to spoil the book for y'all. It's how we met, and the way, you know, he's helped me create this amazing journey and you know, making my dream come to fruition has been incredible. But I often think, like, how did I ever wind up like this? Because I never thought I would settle down, because who the fuck wants to wake up to the same cereal every day? Yeah. You know what I mean? I crave change. Like, I need, fuck, I'm living in a different country like every 2 years, it seems. So, you know, I hope to help take that stigma away that, you know, settling down is not, that's so old. It's like our constitution in the US. It's like, shit, that was written so long ago. We need to relook at it. Or, you know, being an alcoholic, like, there's nothing fucking wrong with that. Bitch, I get drunk and I will punch you in the face or try and fuck you. It's not a good outcome. I am not drinking like a lady. Like, there's, it's okay. It's okay to say that. And people don't need to lose their job over it, you know? So,
Was it like an easy change from being someone that, like, really didn't want a relationship to actually settling down with someone? Was it hard, like, once you were with them?
Not really, you know, and I met him when I was like 29. So initially it was, because our old behaviors carry, you know, come with us. And I met him when I was like roughly 6 months clean, because I'd gotten clean and sober, I should say, because that's been an on and off again journey since I was 21, really. And, you know, those same, it's not like we just drop our bad habits when we get clean. You know, like, we're much better to deal with, but now we're just, you know, and some people become even worse, though, I should say. You know, have you ever met a dry drunk where you're like, fuck, go have a drink? You know what I mean?
Please.
Like, you're better when you're drunk.
You know? Oh my God.
Yeah. So sometimes, you know, those behaviors follow us, and we still, you know, just act out, or we're seeking attention and for the wrong reasons, you know, as opposed to wanting to reclaim our sexual power or do shit for our own pleasure. We're looking for validation through other dicks, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it did take a little bit, but one thing that made it much easier was when we first met, I had, like, the conversation we had was about how much I hated my then current boyfriend.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was like, the thing that really pissed me off was he wouldn't let me, you know, hook up with another chick. And that's always been, my first experiences were with a girl, you know, I've always been bisexual, and my previous partner was, you know, not okay with that whatsoever. And so to, you know, get that out at the very beginning and be like, look, this is me, and not feel like I needed to put a mask on.
Yeah.
So he really saw me for me, and, you know, so to not have those restrictions, it made me want to be a better partner.
Yeah.
It's a long story. And it's, again, it's in the book, and I don't want to fuck it up for you, but he, so I had a 2.5 year trot in the muscle fetish underground world.
Amazing.
Like, Louis Theroux did a documentary on it, which is quite interesting. And, you know, the people who are willing to be on and publicly talk about this shit, you know, it's always kind of like the odd ones. There's a whole, all over the world, you know, the most normal of men I'd come across, and I'm like, wait, what?
We love Louis, but, like, he fucks up a lot in terms of, like, he picks the weirdest people to focus on. Like, his documentary on polyamory pissed me off. I was like, you could have chosen people who actually are in healthy polyamorous relationships, because they're fucking out there. But no, you went for a storyline, a narrative, and that fucks me. I love you, Louis, but please, man, you got to stop that shit.
Good. That's 100. You're so right. And that's the fucked up thing, though, is because people, you know, you need that extra little drama to sell something. You know,
that's true.
It is. And then, of course, you know, you don't realize it until you're in the center of it. Like, I you know, was labeled as an ex-fetish porn star by the Australian media.
Wow, that's all harsh.
Yeah. And, you know, I had my, this before I had my tits in and then my fake tits taken out, but I had like that little tiny black box on my tits on the front page of the Sydney Morning Herald.
Oh,
and
wow.
I'm just like, yeah. And I'm like, how the fuck did I become a porn star? Like, to me, a porn star is, you know, taking a couple dicks and
yeah, like
else,
dick on camera.
Yeah, yeah. And
not
I was
just like a
like,
sex worker.
Yeah, it was,
what,
you know.
What is the muscle fetish world? Because I don't
question.
Know.
So I didn't know either, right? So I was an internet sales manager at a car dealership and was still getting high on pain pills and needed some extra income to support my habit because that shit was getting expensive. And I was on Craigslist. You have Craigslist over there?
No, but we
don't
know
have
it.
Over
it's,
here.
Okay, it's very okay. well known.
Yeah, so Craigslist. And I was looking for, you know, implied nude modeling gigs to make extra money. And I came across this ad and it was like muscular calf video shoot. Ballerinas and athletes need apply. And I was like, $100 an hour. And I'm like, the hell is this?
Yeah.
So of course I was like, let me take a picture.
Sign me up.
Yeah, 100%. So I took a picture of my calves, sent it off to this guy. And he was like, oh, great. Let's see. What about tomorrow? And I'm like, fuck, okay. He came up to my office and I'm like, what's the go? And he's like, well, you know, it's a calf fetish. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And
I've had that before on webcam a lot.
Yeah. So that's where it started. I did. He and I started a clip store and, you know, the clips for sale, not clips. Clips. Yeah.
Yeah.
People are like, what? I don't like no clips. And on there you find everything, right? From fucking alien anal porn to pimple popping, balloon fetish. You're
and
it mind blown, you know. And so was that, and he was teaching me like scissor holds, so choking guys out with my legs on their neck or on their rib cage and getting them to submit. And in from there was that, and then like the calf stuff.
Yeah.
And his wife came back from the gym because she was a bodybuilder, and I'd never really seen, you know, like a totally jacked, ripped up lady before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I'd always been obsessed with muscle since I was, you know, a little girl. And that's a whole nother story. But, and, you know, I never really, you see like Rachel McLish or like women who are still quite, you know, they weren't on gear. They weren't like jacked on testosterone and all the rest of it. Yeah. So she walks in and she was a unit. And I'm like, oh my God. You know, and so she was talking about how she had a session that night and this guy was in town and wanted her to keep her shoes on with her socks after she had trained and then was into lift and carry. And I'm like, the fuck is that? And I was like, wait, what? You're getting paid $300 for him to worship your feet?
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, and then she'd pick him up and carry him around. And then, of course, he was into dirty feet. And I'm just like, I was so perplexed. And I'm like, how the fuck is it that I wanted to be Kate Moss my whole life, to be a size zero, and like you're telling me there's this whole world out there, you know, in supply and demand, right?
Yeah.
Like there's not a lot of strong, powerful, muscular women out there.
And
it wasn't, to find out, it wasn't like a dominatrix thing per se. I mean, it was, but at the same time it wasn't, because it was real life. Like there was, you know what I mean? And it's a whole array of different, you know, degrees of realness and, you know, how hard, like some guys would, so this spans everything from like wrestling. So I would wrestle, choke them out, you know, get them to submit. And that's how I got into jiu-jitsu. That's how I got into arm wrestling.
Nice.
I'm serious, laying on a hotel floor and arm wrestling a dude and making $400 and not have to, because none of them expected
mad.
You know, that next level of hooking up, if you will, even though it was a sexual thing. Yeah, and I
found
a
niche.
Trip.
That sounds like so much fun. Like everyone
it
should
was
find a niche.
It, It was a lot of fun, but you know, it was just unfortunate that I was still quite immature and struggling mm-hmm. with a pain pill addiction because I was so obsessed with how my body looked.
Yeah.
And feeling, you know, fat and disgusting. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow, are you fucking serious? And your generation, like I think I'm about a decade older than you girls. And that is why I want to put this message out there and to keep putting this shit out there is because I don't want you to waste 10 years of your goddamn life being upset about some fucking, and I know you're not, cause, and I follow your posts and I'm like, fuck yeah. Like, you know, you have no qualms, you know, and that is the type of stuff that other girls and women need to be seeing and mm-hmm. and knowing that, you know, your body is perfect the way that it is. Yeah. And seeing your confidence and your self-love and being like, fuck yeah, it's just, it's really refreshing. And had I had that at that time, I probably would have enjoyed it a bit more.
Yeah. You know?
So, but it was a big watershed for me because it helped me realize that the world is not what we think it is.
Yeah. Absolutely not.
Kate Moss is not the fucking definition of beauty by a long stretch.
Fuck two. The first fuck.
So it would definitely be hooking up with my husband. Like he flew out from. So of course we met in Australia when I was on tour, and he actually brought me out there, and we sat and talked the whole time, and we wrestled for maybe like 20 minutes, and I whooped his ass. It was awesome. And then. Yeah, he is just, it's a crazy love story. And he ended up coming back to, of course, I broke up with my boyfriend when we got back to San Francisco. And then, you know, we had a house together and all the rest of it. So it was quite hard to kind of like let go of those things I thought it was supposed to be. And, but I was so turned on by this man because he was just this quiet confidence and in his accent. Your accent just drives me nuts.
Florence can relate. She loves an American accent.
I love American accents.
America, there you go. So that's how it was. I was just so smitten. And he flew back because he was a general manager or a marketing manager of an airline. So he had the ability to fly back quite easily. And so on the second time he flew back, we fucked for like a 5 hours.
Yes, the fuck session.
It was the first time in my life that, and but it was crazy because I was so wet that I couldn't get off.
Yeah.
And oh my god,
it's so annoying when you almost like you're so wet you can't feel anything at all. It goes like completely numb, and you're just like, there's this preconception of like the wetter you are the better, and it's like sometimes no, like sometimes this is actually not pleasurable. I'll wipe that away and we'll go again, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly how it was. I mean, we were like everywhere in that hotel room, and then finally, you know, he had a different hotel room because I had the hotel room that I was wrestling men in otherwise. And you know, then I just went back to my room or something, and then like finally, and right after I came, I was just like started crying. I was like, what the fuck is this? Yeah, but it was like because I just ran the Iron Man. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I crossed the fucking finish line.
Oh my
And
God.
It was just like just the top of Mount Everest. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I've come.
Yeah, but it was a trip. It was a trip.
And that sounds incredible.
You know, and it was the first time I had like a man like pick me up and fucking, because usually it's, you know, the other way around. I'm like a bit of a bigger girl, and mm-hmm. I was just like, oh shit, this is. And he had a huge dick, and I'm like, wow,
beautiful.
Huge dick. I had no idea. Like,
so that's the BDE, the quiet confidence.
The quiet confidence.
That's what's up. Yeah. So
I'm actually really jealous about the crying. I feel like I want to have an experience like that's that good, and I'm like that exhausted from that I just cry at the end of it.
Yeah. When like crying while you're coming, that's like my new favorite. When you're like so overwhelmed with pleasure, like, oh oh God. But still coming. It's so good. And it's like really hot as well. Like all that emotion. Like, I want to see a guy do that. Like when,
oh fuck, oh, that'd be so,
yeah. Oh, it's so fucking hot. I want to make a guy cry because the orgasm and sex is so good. That is the goal.
Fuck three.
The best fuck.
There's something about women, and this has to be, I don't want to say the right woman, obviously, but like I'm attracted to a particular type, mm-hmm. and you know, just being able to be just maybe like three or four. I don't know. I haven't done that one yet. So that well,
like,
would probably
all like orgy, like female orgy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be pretty.
Yeah, nice. that would probably be it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that is so a great good. Fantasy fuck. Yeah. Fingers crossed that happens for you one day.
Thanks.
Yeah. I think that's the thing. I think when the fantasy is something that's actually like actually doable, it's really like, it's like a great goal. It's like a sex goal rather than a fantasy. It's like actually like this can happen. So it's really good that it's kind of like relatable. Although like obviously it might be quite tricky to do and to like organize, but you never know, like it actually could happen to you in your lifetime.
I feel like I could pull it off. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe less so with COVID times. That kind of fucks things up for a lot of us. But as soon as we're over that hurdle, then
just a big celebration.
Dive into 5 or 6 vaginas. That'd be perfect.
Yeah. Might as well add some drugs in there too, because you know, that's got to remain a fantasy. You know, like I wish I could just like jump in it one day and then jump back out, but yeah, it works like out that way.
Chem sex. Yeah. So I wish it would. I wish like alcohol and drugs weren't addictive. I wish that everything wasn't addictive. You could just do stuff once and then like that's it. But
yeah, 100%.
I think the orgy fantasy is quite like an interesting one as well, because it is kind of being like submerged and like with so many different bodies that you don't really know what's happening or like who's touching you where or what and why. Like Reed's actually experienced that in her life.
Oh wow.
I've had a few group sex situations, but the biggest was a 12 person orgy, and it sounds amazing. Like it sounds so like I fucked 12 people at the same time. It's not as glamorous as it sounds. It's not like the fantasy you have and you've held in your head for so long. It is very different. Even like when you think about a threesome, you're like, this threesome's going to be perfect. You do it and it's not as perfect or how you imagined.
Very true.
You know what? Even with one other person, it could be exactly the same. So having an orgy, yes, it's like a notch on your belt and yes, I've done it, but it's very performative, you know?
Yeah.
It's still nice though. It's still a good, fun experience. You never know. I might have another 12-person orgy and it's perfect.
It's
never
the best thing you've ever had. Yeah.
I wonder like what it would be like as well, just like all women, like a totally like female and like feminine space, which is just like that energy would be so magical.
Yeah, that's what's up. I don't think I would really enjoy anything other than that, really. I don't know.
It'd be so
I don't know.
I don't know. I imagine it being like soft and loving and
tender.
It wouldn't be like people trying to like ram each other over and over again. It would be like really sensual.
That's what's up. All right,
like
massage.
And like really polite pussy eating and like kisses and
polite pussy eating.
Yeah, rather than like blah, 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 it would be like a little cat.
No, that doesn't sound good.
I mean,
oh my God.
Who's to say what sounds good? Like, I think we all need to have like a female orgy and figure it out.
Yeah.
Not like us like together, balls. But
I'm with you.
Fuck number 4.
The worst fuck.
Oh, I would definitely say that would have been a drug dealer. And yeah, it was, because, you know, I used to, and I actually wrote about this as well in my book, where I'm like, okay, so in my mind, it was more justifiable for me to, you know, get a drug dealer wrapped around my finger and then fuck him as opposed to fucking for money to buy drugs.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I, in my head, like, I thought I was better I was better then because, and you're like, and once you, you know, you get clean and sober and you actually do the work and you start looking into this shit, you're like, well, why is that? Okay, yeah. What message has society given me that made me think that I had the higher road? You're like, bitch, you know, or just as a drug addict, you're like, oh, well, I never shot up. You're like, yeah, okay, you're taking a fucking glass rod and putting it in a torch until it's lava, and then you're snorting a line of crystal meth out the other end and blowing clouds out of your mouth. How is that any different than sticking a needle in your arm? It's more addictive. You know what I mean? It's just funny the way we can twist shit up in our head because of the messages that society give us. Yeah. Just like, you know, women are we're evil because we're talking about this stuff. It's like, where does that come from?
You're like, oh, that's about, right, like opioids, it's such a bad issue in England as well. Like, I know so many people addicted to codeine, and codeine is such like an easy one, but codeine and Xanax and diazepam, and we don't treat it as the same thing, and that's like on the lighter end, but it can ruin lives. It can really fuck 100%. People up. Yeah
100%. So yeah, I basically, you know, I remember, just being like, it was the smallest dick I'd ever seen in my life. I was like, oh, it was literally like the size of my pinky. I didn't know anything like that existed. Oh,
fuck.
I was shocked.
Yeah.
It was a massive what the fuck. I was like, oh, well, okay.
We shouldn't laugh. I can't even help it. I can't even hold it back, which is just so bad.
It's because society has taught us to laugh at small penises. So it's like hard programmed in us, like all the films and the TV series and how porn teaches you that big dick is everything. And how there's literally porn about laughing at like small penis humiliation. So as soon as you hear small penis, like, you can't help but laugh. It's like a learned reaction.
So funny.
Yeah, it is. That's why your show is so important, is to bring this stuff out, you know, because for some reason, because I follow a lot of sobriety accounts, you see, there's like, you know, what do you call it? Fapping? Is that jerking off?
Fapping is like, it's almost like the internet version of wanking.
So, you know, all these no fapping accounts, and I'm just what? Like, what the hell?
Please,
and they're talking about how porn is, you know, so wrong and bad, and you know, but they don't like go into too much detail other than like expectations. But you're right, like when you talk about how it's programmed people to, you know, having a massive dick. And but I will say, there were guys, I had this one guy show up, and this is in the book, he he had mommy issues, and I was on a tour in San Diego, and he wanted me to like smoke a cigarette, which was interesting. I was like, okay, if you pay me $400,
smoking fetish
sure,
is pretty big.
Yeah, and there was that, and then he wanted to show up to my hotel with his dick out and me make fun of him.
Yes,
and, but I accidentally gave him the wrong hotel room.
Oh, what?
Oh God!
Sometimes I'm dyslexic, and instead of like 619, I said, you know, 691, or I forget what it was, like 623 versus 632, and he had his, you know, pecker hanging out, and he knocked on this woman's door, and she screamed. And
of course. Fuck.
Oh my God. Oh,
did she press charges? How did you resolve this issue?
I think she did call the cops.
Fuck. And did you have to be like, no, it's supposed to be my room, this is an honest mistake, he wasn't trying to like sexually assault you?
I think it just ended up, I can, honestly can't even remember, like it was, I was so fucked up but I think he ended up coming back at night, like a few days later, on like the last day of my tour or something, and you know nothing ever, he never got in trouble or knowing, you know. But yeah, it was
something out of a film. That is fun.
Yeah, when I wrote about it in the book, because I just told my parents about it, because I would tell my, you know, it's funny, our families in the U.S. versus, you know, families, I feel like you guys are a lot more proper,
prude,
but, you know,
reserved.
Don't talk
about sex, it's not real.
yeah
especially not with the family.
Your sexuality. So I came back from a tour, and they were like, I dumped out a bag of, like, you know, a brown paper bag of all these 20s, and they were like, what are you doing, are you sure you're just, and I'm like, you're not hooking. I'm like, no, listen, I like choke men out, and I'd pick them up and carry them around. And this one guy, he showed up to the wrong room with his dick hanging out. They're like, what?
Oh, yeah,
it was wild.
Fuck number five.
The fuck that changed the game.
Again, I think that would go back to the one we already talked about. Like, when that shit happened, and I was just like, yep, okay, I can sign up for this for the rest of my life, you know?
And meeting your partner.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing.
And
yeah.
By, you know, being completely content, and which I just want to say as a disclaimer, that is very rare in my experience.
Very rare.
Yeah, super
very
rare.
Very
yeah.
rare. So rare.
Especially and married and for like 10 years, did you say?
Yes, and work together.
Oh, you know? My. Wow. How?
Yeah,
how? What is your secret?
I know. I have no idea. And that's why I'm like, you know, because there are times where we just get so burnt out with yeah. what we're doing, and we're like, oh my gosh, you know, and it's just drama after drama after drama, or having to battle with our ego, because we do have a lot of situations, and we're, you know, he's what, 14 years older than me too, and we're still navigating through pronouns and mm-hmm. you know, what's current and what's not, and mm-hmm. you know, like, it's so there's a lot of times that we're constantly talking about work, even though it's yeah. it's passion, but at the same time, you know, so there are a lot of times, and we're both perfectionists, you know, where we're like, hey, look, we gotta stay blessed, because the fact that we haven't killed each other, and we still love each other, and we laugh, and you know, we desire each other, even though neither one of us have a libido anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, I have hope.
Oh, that's interesting.
Oh yeah, as shit, it flew the coop. Bye bye.
What happened? Why?
I believe it's just age and
comfortability.
You know,
just being comfortable
yeah.
where you can just you find intimacy in different ways. You know,
yeah,
it doesn't have
yeah.
to be sex. It could just be lying in bed, like reading a book, you know?
Yes. We still cuddle yeah. and like watch TV, even though, like I said, we just watch TV before bed. And so it's,
nice.
You know, yeah, we're, and it's so easy to forget that and be like, you know, we are so blessed, because it is so rare, you know? But
honestly,
yeah,
is.
Yeah. So he really, and he told me when, so after we had our first encounter, if you will, he's like, I have to see you again before you go. And it was yeah. my birthday, and he took me up on this thing called the Eureka Tower, which is in Melbourne, and it's like 88 floors up, and
whoa.
It was a clear night, you could see all of Melbourne. It's this circular
wow.
observation deck. Yeah. And he had gotten me, he'd asked me previously, he said, what's your top five favorite American songs? And I'm like, well, okay. And I gave him some stuff, and then when we met, he'd made this little iPod shuffle with Australian bands. Yeah, that
aww.
Were similar to the American ones. And then he got me the Red Dog book, because he knows how much we both love dogs. And he'd aww. Handwritten this card. And my ex at the time, on my birthday, like, didn't he just found something on the street and bought it for me with my money. And,
yeah.
You know, I was no card and shit. And well, this guy, like, I'm like, how am I turned on by his fucking handwriting? It's really weird.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And jump up and fuck me.
Yeah. Yeah. Because when we were wrestling, you know, I felt like this giant bulge. And I was like, oh, dear.
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
he pulled out this little silver Tiffany charm that was a heart, and he's like, I just want you to know that you have a piece of my heart, and I want to do whatever I can for you spiritually, emotionally, physically, whatever you need. He's like, I gotta tell you something though. And he took my hands in his, and he looked me in my eyes, and he got all teary-eyed, and he's like, I don't know how to explain this, but you are a golden child, and you have something really big to do in this world, and I want to fulfill the bottom part of your pyramid so you can I know, bitch, I know.
Holy, I'm tearing
I'm
up.
Cry.
I know. He says, so you can fulfill that. And I just, you know, because we're on opposite ends of the world, and I'm like, at the time, I was like, oh, that's cute, you know, but I don't
this
know what the
is
fuck he's
so
talking about.
Beautiful.
It is.
I know.
It's beautiful. The romance. My heart.
Yeah. It's crazy. So then, that was
I think guys saying like stuff like that as well, it's just it's rare to have a guy be so honest about mm-hmm. their feelings as well. Yeah, and that must have just been such like an amazing experience.
Or shock.
I'm sure it must have taken you back as well. Yeah. Just like, oh my gosh.
Like, who the fuck is this weirdo? This. Jesus Christ, yeah. I'm gonna run.
Totally. My parents took you this guy isn't a necrophiliac, and I'm like, no.
It's too good to be true. There's got to be something wrong with him.
yeah, that's exactly right. Mm. That's exactly right. I'd say.
So I wanted to go back on, you were talking about how both of your libidos have dropped off, and just to explain that that's not a bad thing. I think it's only a problem in a relationship when your libidos and when like things don't match. So one right. person is always wanting more. But the fact that you sound pretty equal in it, like that's beautiful. Yeah. Just being comfortable and happy within that is such an incredible thing and like something to hold on for. So wait, so he made the speech. Like how did you guys get together? How did you guys get married? Like how did this happen?
I know. So, you know, he was like, you can stay here. And I'm like, oh, I can't. I have, you know, my house and two dogs and two cars. Like I gotta go back. And cause my ex and I had been in and out of therapy for like a year and you know, it's just cause it just wasn't a good fit, obviously. And then, he flew back like 2-ish weeks later and we had a crazy rendezvous in San Francisco up against every wall. And then this was the third time. And this was all in a span of like 2 months. So then he flew back again from Australia and saw me in New Jersey. And that was I started crying, fuck. And then he took my baby blanket. I had a baby blanket like my whole life. And my ex
I'm already furious for you.
I know. He wouldn't even, my ex was like, don't bring that in the bed, you know, because I couldn't really wash it. It'd fucking fall apart. Like sometimes I'd put it in the bath and let it soak. And, you know, it was like dingy, fucking almost light brown. It was supposed to be pink. And, you know, so I always take it with me when I travel. And he's like, can I take your blanket with me? And I'm like, yeah, I guess. And I'm like, why? He's all, because it smells like you and reminds me of home. And I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. Here. Yeah. So the third time he came out though, and he got me tickets to see Prince, which was
crazy. Shit.
Wow.
Right. And I'm like, how the fuck did you get Madison Square Garden? It was sold out. And so here's the funny thing. When I broke up with my ex, there was this only one girl that I had this, you know, she and I had, she was on the scene. She looked like me. She had this hot, rocking little body, even though I was, you know, a better wrestler. Mm-hmm. She was way more defined and I was a little bigger. But she and I were kind of like this, you know, the two top girls on the scene during this time. And I wanted to make clips with her. And my ex obviously was like, because she and I did a photo shoot in Las Vegas. And we made out and my ex, we broke up after I told him. It was stupid. And, you know, it's just so dumb. So dumb. And so, you know, I was like, look, I'm flying her down from Canada. And I was flying out the girl that initially had done our photo shoot in Vegas was going to come out and she was going to come to the Prince concert with me because he got me two tickets. And then she was going to film myself and this other girl. But evidently, I didn't know at the time the girl had a drug problem and she like missed her flight, wouldn't answer her phone. And so here I have girl coming down and I don't have a camera person. And I'm like, hey, you know, do you want to take one for the team? I'm like, do you want to get involved? Like we could have a threesome. And he was like, no, I don't. And I was shocked. I was like, what the fuck? Like how?
Who wouldn't?
Yeah, and he just wasn't comfortable with it, but he was still willing to film and like, but it was super awkward because I knew it wasn't.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so and then I ended up having this, you know, epiphany like that night, and I wrote about it on a piece of paper, and I still have it, and it'll be in the book. But I wrote because I always had this need to want to mentor teenage girls, and I said, well, you know, do I release this content or do I not? Because if I want to work with teenage girls someday in the future, you know. It's not a great look, I guess. And
it
you know,
used to
I
be.
Ended
I think
up,
it's cooler now.
Yeah, for 100%. A decade ago, it was a bit way more taboo, and so anyway, I ended up releasing like one or two of them, and then pulled them off my website. Mm-hmm. And then he left, and then he came back, and then that's when I went back with him to Australia, because I was like, my mom can't borrow money from me out here. I'll go. And then I ended up staying, and then like 2 months later, so we got engaged 4 months after we met, and then while we were in San Francisco, because he took me like around the world, he proposed to me in front of the Eiffel Tower in a fucking horse-drawn carriage.
I know, this guy, crazy.
I know, we had like first class flights because they were like $600 because he was on staff travel, you know, like just the whole, like, it was crazy. Mm-hmm. And of course the whole time I was like, I'm fat, not, you know, like just sick in the head. It was just, I'm like, can we go back and have a do-over, please?
You know, oh my god, and you should.
I know well, you know, the whole, like, you know,
corona,
but we're
fuck
we'll
that
figure
up
out
not
something.
Right now,
yeah. But how we got married was, we were in San Francisco, and this guy that I'd seen before offered me like $10,000 to come out to Vegas and wrestle him and beat him up a bit, I suppose.
$10,000
Yes. And I thought it was a little too good to be true, but I was like, all right, fine, fuck it. And he ended up duping me and gave me he was supposed to send half of it through Western Union. And when I went to pick it up, there was one missing number on the control number. But by that point, because we were like, well, we might as well get married while we're here. We had booked a chapel and a hotel and our flights. Shit. And then I got the news that this guy was fucking me over. I'm like, oh well, painful. I guess we're gonna go get married. So we came out here and got eloped, and now we live like right down the street from where we got married. It's a trip.
Oh, that's amazing. Aww. At least something good came out of that, because scamming 100%. People is fucking awful.
And yeah, it should, so that's how we got married.
No offense, but...
It should. That's another story.
Yeah. Fuck, yeah. But yeah, congratulations on that marriage. Woo!
Yeah, I know. It definitely could have gone south. But, you know, I remember my sponsor, one of my first sponsors, she was like, wait, you what? So you got married after 4 months? That's the most alcoholic fucking thing I've ever heard in my life. I was so offended at the time. I'm like, God, you bitch.
Yeah.
But then in retrospect, I was like,
that was pretty crazy. Yeah. Yeah. Shit. Well, yeah. I mean, it still worked. Like, you're still together now.
Yeah.
So it doesn't... 100%. Getting married... basically, you just got to do it in your own time. I think that's what's most important. It doesn't make a difference whether it works or not, or whether people judge, or whether it's not how people are going to do it. Like, you just got to make your own life.
It's all an experience. Yeah. That's right, Reed. Mm-hmm. It's all an experience, and that's all life is. And that's why we, you know, get so twisted up, is because we think it's supposed to be a certain way. And you're like, no, you're supposed to fail your ass off.
Yeah.
Whatever mm-hmm. failure means. It's just a fucking experience. Mm-hmm. That's it.
For fuck's sake. This week's sex question is, I am a 27-year-old cisgender female and I'm still a penetration virgin. I've always been on the heavier side and have only had one male interested in me sexually, and we never got past awkward fondling. I recently started a sexed relationship with a guy I fancy, and he seems to be really into it so far. If we take this to a physical level, when safe to do so, should I tell him that I'm a virgin? I'm not really ashamed that I am, but I hate the stigma of a heavy girl virgin. I thought I would ask this one because it's about body image, and I feel like that's something you're really passionate about, Courtney.
Yeah.
Because basically, I mean, I've never personally heard of like a heavy
virgin.
Girl virgin.
Yeah, I've not
stigma,
heard,
but
no, I've heard of like virgin stigma, but not specifically a heavy girl. And also, like, what does heavy mean? Are we? Is it just like a body confidence issue? Or
I think yeah,
because like.
Yeah. I would say that I feel like she's feeling self-conscious about her weight and like the way that her body interacts sexually.
Yeah, she's got to change up that language to start with. Don't call yourself heavy. Call yourself fucking bodacious curvy babe.
Yes.
You own that shit. You fucking lush girl.
That's what's up. I feel you know, for her, because you're like, well, what's the definition of, you know, heavy, because I mean, look, I'm sitting here telling you how I was like, I thought I was fat. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you look in the mirror, and the night before I had like 5 pieces of pizza, and I would rigorously do cardio every day, or then be like, how am I going to work that off? And just fucking all day mentally obsessing. And it's like, you could physically see in the mirror, even though it's scientifically not possible, but you can physically see the change in your body, and you're like, you disgusting fat piece of shit. And it's just, I could not break that cycle for so long. So I think the first thing to understand and to feel right now is the identification, and that you are not alone, regardless if you're, you know, 90 pounds or 6 stone, I forget how that translates, but you know, 40 kilos or you're, you know, 200 kilos. Yeah. It's just a mindset thing. And it's difficult. You don't just snap your fingers and change it. You know, like I finally, came to a place of peace. And it was after getting my tits out 2 years ago, and I had taken 3 months off from working out. And I think by having that separation, it kind of allowed me to walk through it, because here I've been married to this person who would still wake up with tears in his eyes because I'm so beautiful after 5 years and bring me coffee in bed and shit. And I'm like, I'm not good enough. Well, Courtney, you're so beautiful. No, I'm not. You know? And it's like, that's what the tough. Fuck? Like, if I could be stuck in that, anybody could be stuck in that. But if this person, if our girl can take this mindset, and this is what I would encourage to do, perception, and think of yourself as a leader, right? And everybody who is having these shitty experiences right now can stop and say, right, everybody is waiting for somebody else to go first, and that person is you. And that can happen by snapping your fingers and saying, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to make a conscious decision, I'm going to be authentic, I'm going to be honest, and I'm going to be accepting. And I'm going to say, look here, homeboy, I haven't yet fucked anybody, but guess what, bitch, you're the first. So be fucking excited. You know, and if you don't like all this, and get the fuck out. Like, there are plenty of people out there who would be in line to bang this. So you know, I'm a little kind of awkward about it, but let's figure it out. Want a shot? Let's do this. You know, so.
Oh my God, I could not have said it better. Yeah, that's right? So fun.
Like, it's good. Sometimes we have to fake it till we make it. But then on the other hand, I'm always like, be authentic as fuck. So the two can live in the same space, right?
Yeah.
And if we can think of ourselves, though, as this is our purpose in this lifetime, is to change the narrative and to fucking wipe out those stigmas. And we could say, oh, there's a stigma and I don't like it. Okay, great. What are we going to do about it? And you can see yourself as a leader and be like, okay, I do have a mission here, even if it's just this one dude that I'm gonna, you know, practice this on. I'm at least starting a new conversation and a new thought pattern, because if she comes into it and says, oh, I'm fat, I feel fat or whatever, and you know, then he'll take that with him and go out. But if she comes in and gives it her best shot and says, you know what, here it is, this is what's up, and then he'll in turn, you know, leave that experience and be like, okay, so the world is a little different than what I thought it was. And that is going to have a ripple effect. And what we don't realize is the power we have with one person. And it's difficult even more so in this time because of social media, right? And you put something out, and depending upon the bullshit algorithm of that day, we'll be like, oh, I don't have any influence. Only fucking 500 people saw my video. And it's like, imagine being in a theater with 500 people. That's a lot of fucking people. You know what I'm saying? Even if it's so two true. People. You know, I have one guy, like, watched a video, and it was something about sobriety, and he's not an alcoholic, but I said something that resonated so much so that he was like, you know, I'm a former Marine, I have PTSD, I'm suicidal, I'm a teacher, you know, I feel empty. And then I said something that just shifted his perception slightly. And then, you know, for one day, though, he will go out in the world and not feel suicidal and then impact each person that he has interaction with. And then that person impacts somebody else. You know what I mean? It's like network marketing. You have one person and then they're like, get someone on the left and get someone on the right. And then all of a sudden you're having a $1 million business.
Pyramid scheme of happiness.
But that's how we have influence on people. It's like one affects one and it's got this massive ripple effect.
So. It's like smiles are infectious. And this sounds like this girl, she's already owning the fact that she's a virgin. And she's cool with it. Like you're already halfway there. You just got to own the rest of it. Like there is a very different situation position where you go to this person and say, okay, cool, like, I'm a virgin, and they're gonna treat that as like, oh shit, she's a virgin. But if you're like, yeah, I'm a virgin, yeah, but like, I'm down for this, I don't know what's gonna happen, that's like, it just completely changes like people's thought processes. Yeah. So exciting for you, babe. Exactly. Get right. Fucking laid.
Do it.
Yeah. Yes. Woo!
Unfortunately, it's time for us to fuck off.
Oh.
Courtney, you have been amazing. Thank you so much for being
Thank
here.
Thank you. It's been absolutely wonderful.
Where can our curious fuckers find you? Tell them everything.
Oh, you're sweet. I love this. So the clothing line is probably the first place to start. And, you know, we have 4 distribution spots around the world. And it's grrrl.com, regardless of what you believe, how you fuck, if you fucked, you know, or what. But it's the purpose of this clothing line is to help women change the way that we view ourselves and then how the world views us, and to focus on what our bodies can do and not what it looks like, and to be leaders in this destigmatization of what we're supposed to, you know, do, be, say, and act. And so beyond that as well, it's creating a sisterhood. So if you two saw each other out on the street and didn't know each other, but you had girl leggings on, you'd be like, hey girl, hey, because you know that you're not each other's competition. And we believe that's why we're held back as a gender, is because some girl might, you know, be listening to this and be like, oh my God, fucking slut.
Yeah.
It's like, well,
yeah, the competition.
Hold on, let's create some awareness. Yeah. Now, if you could just take a step back, keep that shit to yourself, question and wonder where it came from. And if you don't like it, pass it by, but still support, right? You know, we don't have to like each other, but we will love each other. And that's how we're going to get ahead as women. And so there's that. And then, of course, my personal shit is Courtney Olson, KORTNEYOLSON.com. And then you can get your free 8-week watermelon smashing program on there. So it's a, you know, train at home, strengthen your posterior chain, and then get a motherfucking watermelon and smash that shit and remind yourself that you are powerful. And that is where our power is up in there. You know, when we go out, and let me leave you with this, when women go out and we want to pick up, right, we go out 100% fucking knowing. If a dude goes out, and I know, you know, this shit isn't binary, but I'm talking about from an anatomical perspective, you know, and then the dude goes out and wants to pick up, you know, a woman, what have you, he'll be praying, wishing, wondering, hoping, thinking, you know, and it's like, okay, well, what's with the power flip here? You know what I mean? Like, we have the power. True. We are the givers of life. We are not the fucking weaker sex. We're built to push babies out of a little tiny hole in our body and then get up and go to work the next
day. Fucking awesome.
My husband gets kicked in the dick and it's game over. He gets the flu and he's on the couch. Right? So it's a whole mindset, just like our bigger girls. Like, you got to change your mindset. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you can do that, or, you know, just follow me on Instagram, whatever.
That was a beautiful note to end on. Thank you so much, guys. And
thanks.
We really hope you've enjoyed this episode. It's it's been very enjoyable for us. So you can find us on Instagram at Come Curious and Read Amber X.
And at Florence Bark.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, sorry. I've thrown myself off there. Jesus
Christ.
Jesus.
Leave me out then.
Jesus.
All right. So subscribe to this podcast. Leave us a rating and a review. And if you have your own sex story or sex question, please email it in at fksgivenpodcast@gmail.com. Mm. And we will see you, or you will hear us, next week.
Yes. But I'm just going to remind you all a little bit about our Patreon.
Oh, yeah. That thing.
We're so shit at this, like, end bit, fucking hell. We have a Patreon which you can pledge to and listen to Florence and our personal sex lives, as well as has loads of extra goodies like photos and stuff on there. So yeah, go check that out, and we will actually see you next week. No, we won't. We'll hear you next week. You'll hear us
next
week. Fucking
all right,
we're done now.
Bye
bye.